just some updates. And just while they're going, with the insurance coverage for our church, not just the buildings, but for child protection and all these things, we have to be extremely on the ball with our policies and procedures. And we now have to bring child protection to every board meeting to discuss, to make sure that we're protecting our children properly. And I know the parents are out there and they probably, they should be able to hear me, but you are responsible for your children if they're not in Good News Kids and it's before and after the service, to take responsibility, even if they go to the bathroom, things like that. So I think they heard me. But, yeah, we just need to be on the ball, don't we, because we don't want anything to come against. We know the enemy would love to trip us up in some way. So if we stay on top of these things, we should be great. All right. I'll just start and they'll catch up and I'll just talk for a bit. Okay, so for those who are just here today, we've been... I just want to mention too, there's a little gathering for Malcolm that passed away, Malcolm Hayward, for those who know. It's at the Botanical Gardens at 10 o'clock or 10:30, Steve. You don't even know. No. 10 or 10:30 at the Botanical Gardens this Friday for anyone that wants to go. All right. So we've been doing the book of Ephesians, walking through Ephesians, and I finished chapter 1 last week. So we're on chapter 2. We don't get very far because, as you know, every verse has so much in it and that Paul is presenting to the church in Ephesus and to us, because we're in the church age and this is speaking to us too. So today Paul presents to us a before and an after picture. So before Christ and after Christ. Now, we know in our lives we have before and after pictures, you know, before marriage, after marriage, or before we when we were needed to lose weight and after when we lost weight, or the other way around, or whatever. There's always a before and an after picture, isn't there? So this is basically, these scriptures here are talking about before and after. So before Christ, and before we came to Christ, and then after. And it starts off a little bit dark and a little bit, oh gosh, you know. But we walk through, and as you know, there's always good news at the end. So let's start. Let's pray. It's a good point to pray. Father, I just want to thank you for Paul's message to the church, that, Lord, through the Holy Spirit as he wrote these letters to the churches, it awakens us to think, oh, are we walking like that? Because it doesn't matter if it was back then, the word is still the same today because it never changes. So we ask that you would open our eyes, give us revelation for anything that we need to hear today. And we ask this in your name. Amen. So we'll start reading the first three verses. Okay, so, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So from this scripture, in the next slide, we can pick out the points that we read about there. One, we were spiritually dead. Two, we were walking according to the world. We were under the control of the devil or Satan, and we'll see that again as we go on. We were indulging in the flesh, and we were subject to the wrath of God. So this is a pretty dark, stark picture of us before we met Jesus. And I'm sure most of us would remember parts of our before Jesus that we may not want to remember of how we were. Would you agree? We've all got that something in the past, haven't we? And I don't even want to go there. But before I became a Christian, I didn't actually feel dead, you know. I didn't even think about it. But it's not about how you feel, remember. It's all about according to the Word of God. So according to the Bible, you were dead before you came to Christ, dead spiritually. And not only were we dead, we were hopelessly dead, because a dead person can't do anything about their condition at all. They can't change their circumstances. So they're hopelessly dead. And that describes us, what we were. when you were born again, you were spiritually dead, and we were born with a sin nature, okay? And we were separated from God. Now, remember Adam and Eve, they had the run of the garden and they walked with God, the Bible tells us. They had a great relationship with God. And one day God said to them, okay, guys, you got all the trees in the garden here, but there's just one. There's just one that you cannot eat the fruit from. And God went on to tell them of the consequences, that if they chose to do this, that they would die. Now, you know, they didn't actually drop dead because it wasn't poison food. They were just disobedient. But make no mistake about it, God warned them that if they would eat from that tree, they would die. And it was a spiritual death that they died. Because before that, they were connected and had relationship with God. That was part of creation. They were tuned into God. There was an intimacy and a closeness. He walked closely with them. But after they disobeyed God, there was a deadness, if that's a word, that came upon man and woman at that point. And from then onwards, we were all born dead, spiritually, of course. So verse 1, if we could, yeah, I think we go on to the next, that's it, says that you were dead in the trespasses and sins. Now, these two words have different meanings. And the Bible says we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. So sin is the general act of falling short of God's standards. It's a fundamental condition, a separation from him. But the word trespass is different. It's a deliberate violation of a clear divine command. So it's a willful act, a deliberate willful act of whatever it is you do. You know better, but you do it anyway. And it's like telling a child, isn't it? You know, a five-year-old child, now I've just mopped the floors, don't walk on them. So they walk out and the first one's like, oh, sorry. But then they do it again. Well, that's what a trespass is, a deliberate act of knowing that you shouldn't do it, but you choose to anyway. So they're different. So we were dead in all those things because we did what we wanted to do. And sometimes we knew things were wrong and we did them anyway. So we're sinners by nature, sinners by birth, born into this world, we are disconnected from God. And because of the way we were, the next lot of elements come into play. In verse 2, it says, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, which is the enemy, Satan, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Now, I'll just go through that. Firstly, the word walked. In the Greek, there's a Greek word for it, which I can't remember, but it means to stroll about, to meander through, just taking your time, walking through life, just passing time. See, we didn't really have a purpose then. And we just took our cues from the world and how the world did things. And our lives reflected that before we came to Christ. We followed the pleasures of this world. And I know as a young adult, I blended right in with the world there for a time. And although I did know the difference because I was brought up with Christian in a Christian home, nobody would have known that. I did not give that impression. I went along with the world and that's how I walked for a time. So there was a time when all of us did that. We walked according to the world and we followed the ways of the world. That was our before picture. Also in verse 2, it says, the prince of the power of the air. That spirit is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So we were sons of disobedience. The devil is behind it all, actually. And the work of the enemy was being played out in our lives before we came to Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:4 even confirms that. It says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Doesn't that make sense even when you think about what's going on today? The God of this world has blinded their minds, the unbelievers' minds. They're deceived, they're blinded. And the God of this world is Satan. And I know we think God's in control. God ultimately is in control. But at the moment, the God of this world is in control of the world. 1 John 5:19 says, We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, because he does have power, only the power we give him. Ultimately, God is more powerful, of course. And if we go back to the list, one of the things again was we're indulging in the flesh. Let's look at verse 3. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So just as God is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son and the Holy Spirit, as an individual person we are made up of a body, that's our body, our soul, which is our mind and our emotions, and then our spirit. So we are body, we are soul and we are spirit. And the before part of us was dead, the spiritual part of us. So what's left is we have the body and the soul. And again, that's the before picture. You see, until we understand these things, we just walk in them. We don't know. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't know, because it's the Spirit that reveals these things to us. So we shouldn't be surprised, and we are. No, I get amazed when you hear what else is going on in the world and what else is happening. But I guess we shouldn't be surprised when we read that the enemy, you know, blinds the minds of these people. You know, and that was us too at one point in life. You know, the evil in this world does quite amaze us, but it explains to us why it's so corrupt and we know who's behind it all. See, the Bible tells us about our heart. I know some people go, oh, they've got a lovely heart, they've got a lovely heart. But this is what the Word says. Have a look in Jeremiah 17:9. It says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who knows how bad it is? So God does know our heart and what's in there. And I know that people do have a good heart, but all I can say is God knows. And this is in the Word. So the human heart can be absolutely deceitful and desperately wicked. And so, again, none of us should be surprised, and I think we focus too much on the people, but it's the enemy that we have to come against. Because when mankind lives according to his heart, it governs the flesh, and anything is possible. And then at the end of verse 3, it says, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. In the NLT version, it says that we were, by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everybody else. You know, this sounds quite, I don't know, disturbing maybe, but it means that was the default position of everyone, of all human being before Christ, because we were all born sinners. So before we came to Christ, that's the direction we were all heading, to be under God's wrath. God's wrath is not an impulsive anger either. It's a stored up patient wrath, and he will judge the world one day. Thank goodness he's forgiven of our sins and we won't be judged for them, because he has forgiven them and forgotten them. Praise God. So the world, the flesh and the devil all have influence in our before life. And if we don't turn to Christ, we would then definitely come under that wrath of God. And if we die, we would not be in heaven with him. And that is our before picture. So chapter 2 begins quite dark and disturbing and reminding us of, gee whiz, I'm glad I'm there anymore. But in the next verse, the very best part of all, it's the good news. I loved getting to the good news. And it's quite comforting too. And the first two words of the next verse is a phrase that is quite often used throughout the Word of God quite a few times. And it speaks of the great intervening hand of God. It says, but God. Two awesome words. Two words that can save your soul. In Romans, we read that God demonstrated his love. It says, but God demonstrates his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And another but God that came to my mind as I was reading through is Joseph. He used this term when he was speaking of his own life and when his brothers had come and realised, oh my goodness, Joseph, we thought we killed him, we thought he was dead, and they're standing before him thinking, oh dear, what's going to happen here? and now he's the prime minister of Egypt, and they're shaking in their shoes. But Joseph, in his godly manner, he sets them at ease when he says to them, "As for you, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good, to save the lives of many people." And I think we all have a testimony of a "but God" situation in our life. "I once was lost, but now I'm found" is a "but God." "I was blind, but now I see" is a "but God" moment. And so here is the "but God" moment in verse 4. "But God, being rich in his mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and by grace you have been saved." So we have been saved and now we're alive. And you have to admit that's a pretty big deal. Biggest deal, biggest decision we've ever made in our life. And it doesn't matter how long you were dead for. Age doesn't matter. You can be on your deathbed and our God, if you call upon his name, will be right there and accept you right into his love. How good is he? How faithful is he? So it's saying that we were once dead and we're now alive because of God being rich in his mercy, because of the great love that he had for us. He loved us so much, he wanted us to live with him, to be in Christ. So mercy and love. Every time we read about the salvation that is ours in Christ, we see that it's because of his mercy and grace, because we weren't good people. So he must have loved us to see through all that. And mercy is just not giving us what we deserve, because we actually deserve hell. But his great mercy, we are entitled to heaven because we're a child of God. So not that there was anything good in us or worthwhile, it was because of his mercy and his great love. And Jesus didn't just look around and go, "Oh, they're pretty good people, I'll save them." And I think we have to get rid of that idea that we were good, because we weren't. Because if we do that, if we think we're good, we will carry that through our Christian walk, and we'll live on a performance track with God. And if something goes wrong in your life, you'll think you're bad and God's punishing you. And if something good happens, you'll think, "Oh, well, I am good after all." No, we weren't good. None of us were, and we need to stay humble in that. But thank God he calls us righteous now. I mean, there are other scriptures that aren't in here, but we are righteous because of Christ's sacrifice for us. But he didn't save us because we were good. Okay, so all these good things only happens in his life, in our life, because of his goodness. And that's why Paul goes on to say that he was rich in mercy and that he delights to show mercy. And he creates a new work of grace in our lives. And I love the fact, when I think of the grace that he has bestowed upon me, I can only but give grace to everything that comes against me because of what God's done for me. Who would I be to not forgive and not give grace where he's given it to me so many times? And I think that's something we have to remember. God's done it in us. We have to then pass that on. That's how people know that we're Christians, by our love, by our grace and our mercy that we show to others. What a wonderful God. So after those verses, we look at verse 6. And we'll see how the rest of the picture looks. "And raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." That's the overall after picture. Next slide says, so we're alive now. We're seated with Christ. And we are a living display of God's grace and kindness. And we should be that to others. I'm so grateful that I'm alive and that I'm alive in him. And when I look back and acknowledge what he saved me from, which was death, and the great mercy that he showed on me, it makes him love him so much more and be so grateful. Because it is amazing to be alive in Christ, is it not? It's a new sense of security. to me. There's so much evil going on in the world. I can rise up and go, well, God, I'm just going to focus on you. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to stand up for the things that I believe in that are godly, but I'm going to focus on him. And I don't know, somehow that's what we have to do. We have to rise up above all that we see and to trust him. That was a good word, Jean, to trust him. And now we understand that our life is not our own. We belong to him. Remember last week, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's us. We're sealed with him. And, you know, I wasn't even aware way back that there was a kingdom of God, you know, because we all operated in the kingdom of the enemy, really, didn't we? I was totally unaware of the things that were available to me, and we talked a lot about them last week. But now I've been made alive to them. I have all the inheritance, I have all the things, the spiritual blessings that God has bestowed upon us. I mean, do you remember when Jesus had the conversation with Nicodemus, and Jesus said, a man must be born again? And Nicodemus sort of like, well, what do you mean, God? What do you mean, Jesus? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? But Jesus said to him, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can produce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. And without the Spirit, there is no ability to even grasp it. And also in verse 7, we read a lot that Paul uses the phrase right throughout his letters when he says, in Christ Jesus. And so he loves picturing you. He pictures you in Christ Jesus, okay? So Jesus is at the right hand of God, and we're there right with him in heavenly places. It's sort of hard to even imagine that we're in heavenly places, but we have that as a gift from just being here in the natural, in the spiritual, as we pray and as we sit in the presence of God. That's the heavenly places he's talking about, the heavenly realms, and one day we'll be in heaven itself. And Paul knows this, and so he writes from a positional point of view that we're already there, but we're not yet, that it's already happened. So we are in, we have that ability to be in heavenly realms, heavenly places. Again, it messes with your head a bit, but we believe these things by faith. We don't understand everything. We can't see everything, but we trust what God's word said is true. So as I mentioned, I think last week, that it's not just a location that we're going to. It's a dimension, something we can turn to at any moment here on earth. We can connect with the power, the person, and the plan of God in heavenly places. And the Bible says to seek those things. That's why we give an opportunity through the service to bring a gift, because the Bible tells us he's given each one of us a gift, but he might have a word. It's not for you, it's to encourage someone else. It's to build up the body of Christ. So if God gives you something, don't be shy. Use it for God's purposes to build up the body. And see, when we think in these things, when we think about heavenly places, you won't sink. You won't get bogged down with the ways of the world and what's happening. You won't worry. You'll trust God more, and you'll believe it by faith. And that should be our after picture, not just being in Christ, but all the inheritance that we have. Verse 7 again, as we, not far from the end, it says, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. There it is again, in Christ. I love this. You and I, we're a display of God's grace and kindness, and we should walk like that. We are literally here to display his grace and his kindness, and I hope we do. And he has given us so much that we didn't deserve, but he's given it us so that we would give it to others, because we're the conduit for the world to see us and to be saved. We were once displayed with selfishness and worldliness, but now we are a display of God's kindness and his overflowing grace. And we're seated with him in heavenly places. And as we prepare to worship, I ask you, are you a living picture of this, of the after, all the things we talked about, the spiritual blessings, they're not automatic. We have to walk in them. We have to choose them every day. They are a reality in our lives, and we still have the freedom to choose. God will never take away that choice. And we can go back any time and live the old way. And I see way too many born-again Christians defaulting back to that before picture because it's a learned thing. Habits are easy to go back to. And that's why we have to make new habits, new disciplines, to be in God's word and to believe what he's telling us. You know, I see parents who say they're Christian, but they're bringing up their children in the wisdom of the world, not God's wisdom. And there are consequences if we don't walk that way. So the way to life is narrowing and hard. And it seems sometimes like you're going contrary to the stream. The world's going one way and you're pushing the other way. And it can be tough. And it can be a challenge because everything around you is going in the opposite direction. But we've been called. We've been called to live a different life. We've been called to stand out and to stand up for God's word, not the ways of the world. And sometimes, you know, we've got family or friends who are in our ear and they can be, you know, giving us their counsel on, don't be silly, Mum, don't do this, or, you know, what are you doing there? But we know God's word to be true, and it's time to stand up and say, Lord, I'm going to live a life that is constant with this new picture, this after picture, the picture of what you've done in my life. I want to live a changed life and a different life. And remember, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh that we have is weak. We got to get rid of that flesh. We've got to take that flesh and crucify it like Christ did. And in 2 Corinthians 12:9, each time he said, my grace is all you need and my power works best in weakness. You might think you're a strong person, but I like to be a weak person because Christ's strength strengthens me in that, and I work through his strength. Because if we think we're strong, we can often operate in pride. My grace, he says, is all you need, and my power works best in your weakness. So I'm glad, this is Paul, to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of God can work through me. There was a season in my life when I was very weak, and I know that God supernaturally strengthen me for that season, and he'll do it for you. Whatever you're walking through, you stay humble and his strength will carry you through, and people will go, wow, look at them, look how they walk through that. And that's what I want to be, someone that God will show to people where she walked through that, not for me, but to reflect his kindness and his grace and his mercy. Trust me, the enemy knows our weaknesses. That's where we need to fill that weakness with God's strength and power. And we have to walk in the Spirit, and we have to battle in the Spirit, and we have to be empowered by the Spirit. You see, he chose me, he saved me, he made me alive, and he has seated me. And I say this again, he chose you, he saved you, he made you alive, and he has seated you in heavenly places in Christ. And so now we display his mercy and his grace in our lives. Amen. Amen.